I'd like to start with a couple of verses in the seventh chapter of Ecclesiastes. I want us to think about decisions. Decisions. Have you ever thought about how important your decisions are?
Good question.
Have you ever thought about how much they mean? How much they potentially mean? I think there's a lot of decisions that we've all made. Probably, if you stop and think about it, you've made a lot of decisions already today.
That's true.
Minor, maybe major. But you've made already. Well, for instance, I had a choice between black shoes or brown ones. My wife packed both, and I had a decision about black ones or brown ones. I went with brown.
Uh-oh.
Ain't much of a decision, but it don't mean anything. I mean, I don't know that I'll be advantaged or disadvantaged by it today at all. But I made a decision. But do you ever think about what a decision might mean? You can make a decision to miss service.
Okay.
And go to town.
All right. That was a decision.
That might mean more than a pair of shoes.
All right.
I don't know. We definitely don't know the ends of all these things, but the decision that you make, if you decided not to come to service, the Lord might have had something for you.
Right there at the services. That's
it might have been for you.
That's right. Brother.
And you might have decided not to have it.
That's right.
You didn't get it.
Uh-huh.
You can decide to do something that may have spared you a wreck. I mean, just decisions can there can be a lot of things. If you decide to plant a fruit tree, you might get some fruit off of it.
That's true.
It could die, but if you make a decision to plant it, if time goes on, you might be able to reach up there and get something off of it. I mean, that's we make decisions about stuff, and we need the Lord today. We really need the Lord today because there's going to be a lot of decisions.
That's right, brother.
That you're going to have to make. And I want to say this about the decisions you make. Some of them are irreversible.
That's right, brother. That's right. Amen.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Some of them are I mean, I can decide I'm going to take up a new hobby. I'm going to take up a new hobby. I'm going to start crocheting. And I may start crocheting. And then I may change my mind and say, it's not for me. I'm going to do something else. And it means little. It's not irreversible. If I make a decision to start crocheting, it's not irreversible. I can change that. Do you know there's a lot of things that you do that's irreversible?
Yeah.
You might pick up the habit today.
All right.
Decide that you're going to be hip or cool or whatever you want to do, and you start picking up a smoking habit.
Habits.
It might be irreversible. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe you can give up when you can, but the health that you lose, you can't pick it back up. There's things that the Lord, even in salvation, don't do.
That's right, yeah.
I've got things in my mind from my days before the Lord, and the Lord didn't erase them. Now they get blurrier as it goes, thank the Lord. But there are still things that's irreversible.
That's right.
There's decisions we make. As we make decisions in life, you make decisions in life. I want you to know that, and you probably know if you're here and very, very old, you know that you've made decisions that you shouldn't have made, and you're still paying for it. You're still paying for the decision that you made.
That's right, brother.
Well, the Lord wants... I mean, you know, the Lord wants us to go to heaven.
Yes, He does.
because he loves us and he wants us to be with him. That's what love is. He wants to gather his children up and he wants us all be in eternity together. But God don't want us being miserable here while we're getting there. He wants us to be happy and fulfilled. My idea is, if you'll give me this liberty, I believe eternal life starts when you get saved.
There you go.
I believe that we start our eternal life
here
and then just go on in eternal life. I think we get an earnest of heaven here when we get saved. I think we have a little bit, and the Lord wants us to be happy and fulfilled in this life. And I want to tell you, you'll not be happy and fulfilled if you make bad decisions. It's the decisions that hurts us.
That's right.
Isn't it?
Yes.
That's what it does the damage to us, is we make decisions about things, and the Lord says, I want to help you with your decisions. So all of a sudden I come up against something. Maybe there is a conflict between me and my neighbor, Seth's my neighbor, so. But I got the other neighbors, I'll pick one of the other ones. Maybe the other guy on the other side. When I have a conflict there, I'm going to have to make a decision on how I deal with that. You know I can inflame that thing?
Yeah, you can.
I can stir the flames of that thing and get it going. I can make decisions. But the Lord wants us to be happy and fulfilled here. And he's got a pattern and a way of life and grace for us to be able to make the decisions that will give us the best chance for peace in our souls.
That's so. Yeah.
But the decisions you make is very, very important.
Yes, right.
Now, I hope it's all right. I told it a number of times anyway. But I remember this happened. My sister comes out and says to her husband, my brother-in-law, says, I think it's time to get ready for church.
Uh-oh. Okay.
And he says, you know, I've got this fence put in here. I'm out. And, I'm not going tonight. I'm going to put the fence in. Okay? You do what you want. I'm going to prayer meeting. So he's with fence. First hole, going to put a post. First hole, put the post digger. Bang, right into the water line. But the sister leaves. He's starting with the post. She pulls out. She pulls back in. He's just getting through fixing the water line. And he says, should have went to church. Well, can I tell you? I ain't going to make a solid rule for nobody. Because things happen sometimes. But the decisions you make, I mean, you make the decision, and I'll tell you a good decision to make. Commit yourself to the Lord.
All right.
Commit. I mean, there is things I don't know what to do. I'll be honest with you. There is things that I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. But there's things that I know what the Lord wants me to do. And if I can't do the things that are simple that I know the Lord wants me to do, I know the Lord wants us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves. I know the Lord wants me to be a part of my local congregation, committed and as faithful as I can be. I already know that. He ain't asking me to climb Mount Everest and shout praise the Lord. He's asking me to go to Wednesday night prayer meeting. I only live a mile and a half from a chapel or less. I'm only right there. If I can't do that to the faithfulness and make that decision that I'm going to serve the Lord, then what are you going to do when the big thing comes? The scripture says, if you can't run, if you run with the footmen and they weary you, you know what that means? It means I'm a man. I should be able to run with a footman. I mean, I got feet. It's not beyond us.
Right.
It's not beyond you to run us with the footman, because that's what you are, a footman.
That's right.
But he says, if you can't do what's natural to you to do and easy, what are you going to do when the horses come? Brother Carl, can you run with horses? Not natural? No. It's not with a man. Can't run with horses. But he's saying, by the power of God, you can run with horses. So what are you going to do if you run weary doing the things that easier you should do? What are you going to do when the overwhelming thing comes? If I can't trust the Lord with the little things, what am I going to do when the big things come? If I don't learn to make the right decisions in life with the Lord, if I don't make the right decisions, then somewhere down the line, the bigger things is going to come, and I ain't made the right decisions that gets me into that place. There's all kinds of decisions. We make decisions, and we've had to do it. Sometimes the church standards helps us to make decisions about what we're going to do with our life.
Yeah.
Because I look at faithful people and say, these are good, godly, faithful people that God will put His hand on and bless them. And if I don't understand that, I can mark a line here that here's something that the church teaches and believes. But I want to tell you something. There's more than that. That's a good. I want to tell you something more than that. You need a personal place with the Lord.
Amen.
You need a personal place where you make decisions with a relationship with the Lord.
Relationship.
Now, we're in a modern technology. Mm-hmm. That's a decision. Me and my wife says at one point, what are we going to do with some of this? Mm-hmm. I don't think it'd be good for our children to ban everything. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be harmful to them to ban everything. So we look at it and said, we need to make some decisions here. So what are we going to allow our little children to watch? So we put some parameters on good character building things. We don't like live acting things. So we got some barriers that we put in things, and we made some decisions that we feel very good about, that the Lord's helped, that we feel is blessed. It don't go into bad things or give bad ideas or anything. And we live in a peaceful, blessed place because we make decisions for that place. Some people don't know what the turmoil is all about when they're making bad decisions. You make bad decisions, you're going to have turmoil in your life. You stir it and it's going to stink. Let's just say that. You start stirring with it, you're going to get the aroma coming. My father-in-law likes to say, it's like an old cow pie. Said, if it dries out, said, starts drying out, it ain't much, but you get a stick and start stirring in it, you start smelling it again. And there's decisions that you make sometimes, and you get that thing stirred. And the reason why it's smelling like that is because you're stirring with it and making bad decisions.
Right.
So we have decisions all of our life. And you get up today, you make decisions. You made a decision to come to this meeting. You're going to make decisions all through these days, and you're going to make some that don't mean anything, but you're going to make, folks, you're going to make decisions.
That's right.
That are monumental.
That is so.
You may make a decision today that's going to decide your ultimate fate in eternity.
That's
you
true.
May decide to shun the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It may be the last call He has for you.
Right.
You may choose to yield yourself to the Lord on the last call that He has for you and be able to make heaven by your last, by that decision that we make.
That's so, yeah.
Now, we as humans make decisions based on a lot of things. I would buy more things if I had more money. Wouldn't you? Money is the things dreams are made of.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're taught in the scriptures to put that aside.
Yeah.
You make better decisions than monetary ones.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Because if your decisions is based on how much money I can get in my pocket,
mm-hmm.
I may be better off to try bank robbery. Or I might be trying to try drug running. I might get more than I got now if I did. But I'd be risking something. Bad decisions. Bad decisions will follow you.
That's right.
Or at least try the Powerball. I mean, at least try the Powerball lottery. If I strike that thing, I'm done. I'm set, right? But those decisions are more than you. Now, I think there's people in here probably know what I'm talking about. You probably dreamed those dreams. What if I hit five? Hey, try this one. $500 and $600 million. A billion is 1,000 millions. And this, some of these Powerballs is pushing the billion mark. You know, it used to be if you got a million, you're like a millionaire. And now it's like that ain't enough money. That wouldn't be much. You couldn't do anything with that. I can do a lot with that. But that, you say, start thinking about three quarters and a half a billion dollars to make decisions, to do things. And, but the Lord has instructed us to think different about it. Do you know that the scripture says that there's the deceitfulness of riches? Mm-hmm. You know why he says it's deceitful? Because it makes you a promise it can't keep. It makes you a promise that you'll be happy and content and fulfilled if you had enough money to do it. It's a lie. The Lord knows it's a lie. Because the Lord knows the ones that got it don't have none of that stuff. And you can't buy yourself happiness. You can't buy yourself into God's kingdom. You can't buy yourself into heaven. So there's an idea about the decisions we make. We shouldn't base our decisions always on money. It's a good idea if I had to pick of two different jobs and one paid me a lot of money and one didn't pay me so much money and it was the same job, I'd take the more money. And feel like I made a good decision. But there's a lot of times that trailing the money is the bad decision.
That's true.
I like being, I'm not condemning anybody, I'm just saying this. For me, I like being in close proximity to my family. I'm saying I like the dailies with my family. I don't really want an occupation or a job that takes me away from that. That's a decision.
That's a decision.
People have to make. Well, look at a scripture with me in Ecclesiastes 7. 11th verse says, wisdom is good. With an inheritance. And by it there is profit to them that see the sun. Well, I think this is both true. But one stands by itself more than the other does. He's saying wisdom is good. Now, Adam Clark says that in the ancient writings, a lot of times it's not mentioned, but that this is actually a debate between Solomon's gainsayers, and Solomon comes along and says, wisdom is preferred above rubies. Wisdom is preferred above gold. Wisdom is better for you to have wisdom than the riches of the world. So the gainsayer looks and says, boy, you can have wisdom and not have anything to have wisdom for. So an inheritance is good. Wisdom is good if you've got the inheritance. Solomon is If you got the inheritance without wisdom, you're in a mess.
That's true.
You're a mess. How many times have we known inheritances fall between siblings that otherwise seem to get along okay? And all of a sudden the inheritance time comes. Mom or dad passes or both. Now it's time to divvy up. And how many times have we seen the chaos and the greed and the problems that comes along with the inheritance? It happens a lot, folks. Bad decisions are made at inheritance time.
Right.
So the Solomon's saying here, you need wisdom with inheritance, but you can have wisdom without it. But you better not have inheritance without wisdom. One stands by itself, and the other one don't. You got wisdom, you can make decisions. Listen, the inheritance won't make you make decisions that'll be good for your life. You need wisdom. You need some understanding from the Lord in these kind of things. We need the Lord today to help us make the decisions that we need to make. Because when you make a bad one, it could be irreversible. There is things that will go throughout a person's life. Guy gets
in a drunken stupor and passes out on the railroad track and loses his leg. He may get saved later, but they'll always call him Hoppy. God don't make the leg grow back just because you get saved. And there's a lot of hurts that you do to one another and divisions that will never be what they're supposed to be because of bad decisions. So he says wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Do you know money is a defense? Solomon looks at it and just being logical with the whole thing and says, boy, it helps to have some money. You just get along better in life with it, don't you? Isn't it better to have a little? Well, now, Sister Mary, you come here in a car. I seen y'all pull in. It took a little gas money to get here, did it? Well, you better have a little.
Yes.
I'd hate to see you sisters out by the highway sitting out there wondering how you're going to get here.
That's right.
So, a little money. It's a defense against a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's a defense against hunger.
Because
they have places right down here you can go get something to eat. Mm-hmm. If you got money.
Yeah.
It's a defense about being cold.
Because
if worse come to worse, you can buy you a bundle of sticks and some matches.
Yeah.
Worse come to worse, some little money is a defense against being cold and hungry. Mm-hmm. If you don't have a coat, money's a good thing to have when you go looking for a coat. Because a lot of people want money. Well, in this time of day, you wouldn't have to spend much probably, but it's a defense.
That's true.
It's a needful thing. But wisdom does what money can't. There is a thing that money can't do. There is a defense that it can't. You can't defend your soul with money. You can't defend yourself against the devil and bad attitudes with money. You can't defend that robber that's going to break in and do you in. You can't defend. Money will not defend you against a tractor trailer running you over out there. It won't defend you against the flood that comes up against you. But wisdom, it says, the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Consider the work of God. For who can make the straight which he hath made crooked? Now here's what Solomon's logic is. I want us to get this today. Because we make a lot of decisions. And this is what he's saying. God chooses the position in life that we have. I did not choose to be Marty Clevenger. I did not. Now mom chose to name me that, but God is the one that chose me to be this. Okay. I didn't choose to be born in Webster County, West Virginia. Although, if I had to choose it over, that's where I'd choose. But I didn't choose it. I didn't choose to be 5'9 and have red hair.
Okay.
I didn't choose any of that. I didn't choose to go bald. I didn't make decisions about those kind of things. I'm in a certain economic status right now, and I didn't choose that. I don't remember saying, you know, I think I'll get to that certain point.
Uh-huh.
I'm there, Sister Mary, it's just where I'm at.
All right.
And you know you're right where you're at.
You got it right.
Brother Carl's where he's at. Brother Matt's where he's at. Yeah. And you make decisions about where you're at.
That's right.
But God is saying, what the writer is saying here, if God makes something crooked, can you straighten it out? So all of a sudden, the Lord has chosen you at a certain economic level, and you say, uh-uh, Lord, I'm going all the way to the top. And the Lord's sitting there saying, are you really? Are you really? This? You can't straighten out what God makes crooked. And I want to tell you, you might say today, I'm not satisfied with this body you gave me, Lord, so I'm going to straighten it up. I'm going to do better. Or you might say, I don't like being in bad health. So I'm going to straighten that out. Really?
You know, I can feel a lot of arthritis. I'm getting up, Dad had arthritis, Grandma had arthritis. I mean, people in my family had arthritis, and I get this, and Dad will ask me every once in a while, how's your arthritis doing? Well, it's doing what arthritis does. I mean, that's what it's doing. Well, I'm gonna straighten that out. We try, humans try, but what he's saying is who's going to straighten out what God does? You can't straighten out, but here's what God does. God chooses for certain individuals in life great wealth. And money. I don't know why he chooses. He doesn't choose it because they're righteous or unrighteous or good or bad or big or little. He just chooses because he's God. And he knows how he does things. And he chooses for a few individuals wealth, but he chooses for everybody wisdom. Only a few get the opportunity to seek wealth, but everybody has the opportunity to seek wisdom. To know how to make the decisions that's going to affect our lives. If we get close enough as a body of people, if we get close enough, and you care enough for me and I care enough for you, I can make decisions that'll hurt you. You know that? If nothing more, if I win your confidence, and then I do something that breaks that confidence, I'll affect you. Or you may lose courage to fight the battle because you may look and say, I thought, Brother Marty, look and what happened to him. I'll make decisions that will affect the body. You'll make decisions. You remember the story of the Israelites when they come away from the great battle of Jericho, and they won such a battle, and the Lord had blessed them, and not too many days after that, they run up against this little city out there called Ai, I think it was, and they went and said, well, let's go up there and take Ai, they're going to be a thorn to us. They didn't want them, they didn't want to get by them and have them there to affect the people behind us, so they said, well, go take care of Ai. Well, they just a little old thing. Let's not send. Let's not trouble the whole camp of Israel. Let's just send a few people up there. Take care of them. We're not fooling them. And God has promised us that there ain't no enemy going to see our backs. Because we're going to be marching right at them. They're going to be running. So just send a few up there. Well, they had faith in it. Well, that's what God wanted us to do. Well, Lord will be with us. We'll just take a handful up there. No big thing. They went up there and got whooped.
They sure did.
Big time.
Big time. I think they lost, 34 guys, something like that, got killed right there. And they come back, and then the whole camp was saying, we're in this foreign land with all this stuff, and we went up against that little city and got whooped. What are we going to do with the rest of these giants? We're done. Joshua's down on his face, and finally the Lord says, Joshua, get up out of the face, and I'll tell you that I'll be with you. And if you follow me, I'll be your God. Did I not tell you to take courage? I told you that. Now there's sin in the camp. One man made a decision. Got greed in his heart. One man made a decision. I'm going to tell you something. That man's decision cost his family.
Sure did.
Do you know what it cost the family? It cost their lives. One man's greed. Now, if I get this right, Achan crossed the Jordan with the rest of them. He saw it. He experienced it. He had to have been one that walked around the city walls. Six times, one time a day for 6 days, the seventh day, seven times. On the seventh time, you shout, and so the trumpets go, and you shout, and the Lord brought the city walls down. And Achan was one of them. And he said, don't touch the accursed thing. He said, if those things are accursed, and of the silver and the gold, he said, that belongs to the Lord. That belongs to the house of the Lord. Don't you do it. And he got greed in his heart, and he made a decision based on money. On something that he could get for himself. Solomon says, you need a little wisdom to go along with your stuff. But you don't need a stuff to go along with your wisdom. Wisdom is preferred, better to make a good decision. question with, you know, when we start talking about standards and ways of life and why we do and what we don't do and all these kind of things, instead of making an issue about things, every one of us ought to stop and say, what's wisdom?
Yes.
What's wisdom? We got a lot of standards and things as the church. Thank God for them. I love every one of them. I'm glad for them. Because I'm going to tell you what, there's wisdom in them. There's wisdom and protection in the safety that we have in them. They're good decisions to raise your family by. I've seen this, folks, and I've seen this, and I've seen this. I've seen people that will run the church down till you, I mean, run them down, you couldn't have confidence in it at all. And right before their children, bash everybody at something, find fault with something, and then at some point say, pray for my children, they're lost. Well, duh, you bash the church, you bash the things of God, every holy and sanctified thing, you've run down to the point that they ain't got confidence in anything, and they're going to run away from it, and you're going to sit and cry because they run away from it. Well, wait a minute, you're making some bad decisions. I'll tell you a good decision. Don't be good. Don't go running around saying bad stuff like that. Don't go running the thing down. Lift it up. You wanted to be a part of something good. Lift it up. Lift Jesus up. Lift your fellow brother up. Lift him up. And if you think every one of us ain't got a little personality issues, we do. We do. Every one of us is going to have a little thing about, but we're going to make decisions on how we're going to do those things. They can make a bad decision, and when they had to deal with it, folks, they had to deal with it.
Yeah.
And they go to Achan and says, and he said, yes, got the cursed thing, send my kin, found it all, dug it out of there. Take Achan, take his family, take his children, take his cattle, take whatever he owned, his tent, the tent poles, his boxes, his clothes, everything that pertained to Achan, they took it over there and destroyed it and burned it to ashes. Why? Because you've got to see this right. It's not an evil thing. It's God's statement on his tolerance for evil. Zero.
That's true.
Zero. In order to clean the camp of it, you're going to have to utterly destroy it. It goes down to the same thing, folks. Everything in our life that's unlike God needs destroyed. It needs destroyed. We make decisions. We're going to make decisions about where we go, what we do, what we're willing to do, what we're willing to watch, what we're willing to listen to. Folks, we live in a technological age to anywhere you can get cell phone signals, you can get on the internet, and then the whole world's optional to you. Every filthy thing that was ever put on there, you can get a hold of it in a button or two. Everything you want to listen to, you can listen to. Everything you want to watch, you can watch. Bad decisions. You think, well, I can quit when I want to, and I say, you can't. You better watch out. The devil's meaner than you think he is. Some of this is irreversible. There isn't any fires waiting for your children, literally, but I'm going to tell you, live a bad life, see what happens. I really believe there is a sanctifying of the home, that when bad things is brought into the home, it gives the devil authority to mess up things. And as long as you got that authority in your home, he can't do it. Jesus is authority.
Yes.
And you got Jesus reigning in your life, there's a lot of things that the devil can't do, but you let it tear down, and there's a lot that he brings in and does. The scripture says, "What? Who can you make straight a crooked path straight? Commit yourself to the Lord in the position of his providence for your life." Yes. Sister Mary told me before service that she's very contented where the Lord has her. She's very happy right where the Lord has her in her life. That is paramount. You got the Lord has me in this place. Thank you, Jesus. This is tailor made for me. God made making this place for me. I can't straighten this stuff out, what God made crooked, but God put me there for a reason, and the way that the Lord wants to do it, he put me there for a reason. So he says, consider the work of God. Consider the work of God. Today,
that's right.
That God
is in control of this life.
Yes.
You believe that?
Amen.
You believe God's in control?
That's true.
He's in control.
Yes.
The things that happen, God's in control. So consider that God's in control.
Yes.
So that's what it means by saying consider the work of God. For who can make the straight which he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful.
Right.
Now what he's saying is there's going to be times, places that you're going to feel good. You're going to have things going right your day.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, I love those days that go right. Oh, man, do I like a day go right. And you know why? Because I just feel like so many go backwards, just wrong. I've told this before, but I remember being in one of those times, it seemed like everything I'd done just turned out bad. It just was like over and over. So I'm buttering me a piece of toast. And I went to put it up on the counter, and I hit the toast on the edge of the counter, it flipped out of my hand, and landed on the board with the butter side up. And I said, thank you, Jesus. I mean, there it finally happened right. I mean, I ain't against eating the toast when it hits
the
butter side up on the. I mean, and so, hey, praise the Lord. It hit butter side up. That just rarely happens with me. And I went and I picked that toast up and just as joyful.
Okay.
Picked that toast up and went to put it on the counter and done it again.
Uh-oh.
And it hit butter side down just flat right on the floor. In the time of prosperity, be joyful.
All right, brother. That's all right.
It's saying when things go right.
Yes.
Rejoice.
Amen.
Because it ain't always going to.
That's right, brother.
You're not always going to be right there where it's happening good for you. I got this saying that everything I drop goes under something. I don't know if it's some kind of spatial magnetism or something that happens, but everything I drop will go under. If you drop it in the middle of the floor, it rolls under the chair. If you drop it on the edge of the floor, it rolls under the chair. If you drop it on the chair, it ends up under the chair. I don't know how everything ends up under the chair instead of out in the middle of the floor. Why do they never roll out on the floor, I keep saying? Why does it do that? For years and years and years, this is not, I am not making this up. This is an absolute fact that no matter what I do, when I get ice, I would drop one piece in the floor. I got tempted to just get the ice and throw one in the floor and go ahead and get my gun because one day I said, it's not going to happen to me.
Okay, all right.
This time, I'm going to make sure it's in control. I'm going to get me ice.
Okay.
And I'm going to dominate this one. I remember I was about to go to Dallas when it happened.
Okay.
I remember this, going to the Dallas meeting. And I thought, I got it this time. There's no ice going to hit the floor.
Okay.
Boy, I was meticulous. Got that ice. We have an ice, it was an ice maker deal in our refrigerator.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it comes out the deal. But it didn't work. But I got the ice out, put it in there, and it said, no ice at the floor that time. Closed the freezer door, and an ice cube jumped out that little hole.
Yeah.
An ice maker. And while I was watching, it just shot out and splatted right on the floor. And I felt like the Lord said, you getting ready to go to Dallas? And you can't even keep the ice off the floor. I was like, Lord, you're going to help me go to Dallas. Because if I can't keep ice off the floor, I know I can't drive 1,100 miles down to Dallas. You think you're in control? Make it straight. Make it straight. See if you can make everything work right for you. I'm going to tell you, you can't straighten out those things.
That's true.
I was up in an apple tree one time, and there was a big old yellow apple up on the top of that tree. It was the best one in all the trees. It was. And I know me. Ain't no way that thing's not going to hit every limb and hit the floor, the ground. But I know that thing what it's going to do. But I want to shake some apples off here. And I was up in the tree. Went to shake that tree, and that thing popped off. And I put my head down like this to keep, you know, kind of like this. And that apple dropped and landed right there, just as pretty as you please, landed right in my hand.
In your hand.
And I just felt like the Lord said, see, everything don't go bad. There's my apple right there. In the day of prosperity, rejoice.
Oh, that's all right, brother.
Rejoice. Things will be good. Things will go well. Things will go, but whatever you think is going well in your life, and that's what you're looking forward to, it's more about the decisions you make about how you handle things, handle life.
Yeah, sure.
It's about the decisions of life.
That's right.
Lord, help us.
Right.
We need wisdom.
Amen.
How are you going to make decisions if you don't have wisdom?
You can't
make the decisions. Right. You know, God gives wisdom to everybody. You're thinking, I don't know about me. I'm not smart. It ain't about being smart, folks.
That's right.
Decisions ain't about how smart you are. It isn't about doing rocket science or physics or it isn't about being smart like that. It's about knowing enough about the Lord and how to make a decision about what God is, what God's doing. That's what good decisions come from. Good decisions come from living for the Lord. Brother Mark Sammons, I don't know how many knew him, everybody here knew him. But Brother Mark Sammons was, I think sometimes he had a problem with the fact that he didn't go very far in school. I think he ended up in the 8th grade, but he didn't finish it. And he didn't go, and a lot of things he didn't learn, and he felt like it hindered him. But you know what was amazing? College graduates would call Brother Sammons up for counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you call somebody who didn't even go through, wasn't smart enough to go through school? Because he got with the Lord and got wisdom. That's why. The Lord offers everybody wisdom to make a decision with. The first decision you need to make is that will be profitable to you is I'm going to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Well, that's a good decision.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That starts you off on the right way, making good decisions.
Amen.
And you're going to make a decision that I'm going to love rather than hate.
That's right.
That's a good decision.
That's right.
I'm going to follow the Spirit rather than the flesh. That's a good decision. There's wisdom in those kind of decisions. Come up against something you don't know what to do, and the Lord says, stand still. You say, that's a good decision, Lord. I get to running ahead of things. I'm going to mess it up. The Lord says, just stand still then. Just stand still and you ain't messed nothing up. That's a good decision.
That's so, brother.
We're making a lot of decisions.
Yeah.
In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider.
Yeah.
I want to mention to you about considering. The day of adversity is for a reason. God wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something about decisions. When the adversity comes, rather than trying to dominate, do everything yourself, it says to consider.
That's what it says.
Consider where you're at. How's my life going? Now, it's time to consider. I'm not as spiritual as I used to be. Not as devoted as I used to be. I need the Lord to help me in these areas. I see the seriousness of life, of eternity. This is bringing it to my attention. In the day of adversity, so I'm thinking about some stuff. I ain't getting younger. I'm getting older. I need something to consider. And when everything's going well, the Lord says rejoice. Be happy and rejoice with it. Flow with it. But it's like this. It's like dominoes. You ever see dominoes set up? This is what the Lord's saying. That He set one against the other. Prosperity, adversity. Prosperity, adversity. Prosperity, adversity. Prosperity, adversity. Prosperity, adversity. And as soon as you get a couple dominoes falling in prosperity, if it was all prosperity, prosperity would be our God and we wouldn't even think about God.
Right.
No, God puts, so what man can know, what's the next fall of your dominoes? Anybody want to venture your guess? Is tomorrow going to be prosperity or adversity? You run all your adversity dominoes out? You're clean sailing from here on, right? No more falls of adversity for me. I've got them taken care of. No, it's going to be prosperity, adversity, prosperity, adversity, prosperity, adversity. It happened for me. It happened for you. And who can tell the one against the other? Who knows what's going to fall? Everything going real good right now. I say for me, everything going real good. I mean, it's going good. I don't know what the next fall of the domino is. I don't know when the next lump is, fever is. I don't know when the next cancer news is. I don't know when the next car wreck is. I don't know when the next calamity is. But it's made to consider. It's made for, folks, it's made for decisions. So that you and I will make decisions.
That's right.
Two different times in my life, I obviously was in a, what Brother Sammons used to call stupor. I was in a stupor. Mm-hmm. I'm serving the Lord, but it's one of those stupors. Just pulled in over at Elkins with my, I had the station wagon at the time. Me and, let's see, it was, I think Jamie Beveridge. That was Philip. I think it was Philip Doolittle this time. We went to meet Brother Rick, I think it was, brought the gospel truck to Parkersburg. This was about halfway. We met him at Parkersburg and got the gospel truck. Philip was driving the gospel truck. Anyway, I pulled in back in at Elkins in the station wagon. There was a Bible bookstore, I remember, right there on the corner. And I thought, I'm going to pull into that Bible bookstore. I pulled in there, and when I went to pull out, I swung my front end around and knocked the gas meter off. I mean, it went off like a jet plane. I knocked that meter off that line, and the gas was roaring. It sounded like a jet engine. Luckily, my car wasn't stuck on it. I mean, I got off of it. That gas is, I mean, right there. And I was just frantic. The only thing I could see was dollars going ting, 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 ting. I went running around there, and I couldn't find nobody. Finally, I found somebody. Yeah, he said, we'll call. And after a minute, he called. Well, this guy comes up, this young guy, he was kind of a, I would say this, kind of a hippie-ish looking guy. He comes over there and said, yeah, he said, I'll stop it. And he gets up on top of that pipe with 4 feet, like, is this gas is squirting out, I mean, just blasting out, like, his feet in the cannon on that, trying to balance himself on that pipe, and those gas is going out. And I'm saying, hey, bro, hey, you know, don't be breathing that stuff. Yeah, I think that's why he was there. He's breathing that stuff. He just, and I said, he back out there. All of a sudden, the town erupted with a big siren, and here comes fire trucks and all this. And I'm like, oh, man, here comes fire. Comes up there, and the guy comes up there and gets this little, goes back to the back of the fire truck, just real nonchalant, opens up his door, gets this little toolbox, and he comes over there, and he opens up the toolbox. There was only two things in the toolbox. Mm-hmm. There was this big wood plug and this big wood mallet. And he comes over there and he gets up there and he puts that down in there and poof! Stopped it. Just like that. But I remember how I felt about being, I had no control of the circumstance.
No control.
That's true.
And I felt so out of control. And the Lord spoke to me in my time of adversity as I considered, Lord, I felt really needy and out of control there. And the Lord reminded me of how out of control we are. You don't control the days of adversity. You better have God on your side. You better be in a place with God on these things. So in the day of adversity, consider. God has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him. So there's no way that you and I can know about these things. But we're going to make decisions along life. Now over in 8th chapter of Proverbs. Decisions. You're going to make decisions. You're going to decide where you're going to live. You're going to decide what you're going to eat. You're going to make decisions. You're going to decide about your entertainments. Mm-hmm. I want to warn you about that kind of stuff. See, I'm the preacher, so I get to. It's my job. Yeah. It's my job. It's the watchman on the wall job. I like the modern world. I mean, it was the neatest thing. I was working on a tiller the other day, and I had this tiller, I mean, literally apart. I mean, there's so many. I mean, I took it all the way apart, opened the transmission on this thing with all the gears. I find this part that ended up being the problem. And my son's there, and he says, he's right there in the yard with me, and he says,
He looks up my Cub Cadet tractor and says, here's the schematics. I'm like, right there. Shows me a picture of the whole thing. And I said, good, well, here's the part. You want me to order it? And when I was standing in the yard, he orders the part. Well, he may have went in it. I don't remember. But he ordered it, said, that's ordered. I said, well, that's, wow, that's neat. Yeah, it should come in a few days. There. And I said, well, help me out with something. I got two bushings here, and you ain't supposed to end up with parts at the end of this. And I got two bushings. I don't know where they go. Well, here, he looked at this and said, right here's the one. Yeah, that is it. Right there, it goes on. Oh, it's on the end of that shaft. Here's the other one. I mean, I like technology. Worked really good. I mean, I'm standing in it. I mean, you imagine getting that kind of information right there. That's amazing. But folks, there's a lot of it. Ain't going to do your soul a bit of good. So I get to say this. This is the watchman on the wall. It can't be dictated. We can't make, the church can't make a standard to cover you.
That's true.
We can't do it. In this technological world, we can't come up with one and say, you can't have cell phones. Well, you want us to do that? You can't have, no, church can't have this, can't have that. Can't do it. It ain't going to happen. So what are you going to do with technology? You're going to make a decision what you're going to do. You need to block it if it needs blocked. You need to let somebody else be responsible for you if you can't handle it. You better do something because your soul's at stake. And you're going to make a decision based on that. And sometimes the human heart gets hooked on something. It's called endorphins or something now, a brain chemical that kicks off when you get something pleasurable. And you can be addicted to things that isn't substance. You can be addicted to the endorphins being kicked off in your brain. That's the way they explain it. But you can actually be addicted to things that you watch and see and hear and stuff like that that will dictate what you do. And all you did was make a bad decision. God's gadgets now. There's just some certain rules. Face your computer screen to the center of the room if you have to. Don't face it to the wall. Don't seem to be responsible for something. I'm warning you because you're going to make decisions. See? In the scriptures it said in that he put in the midst, the centra, the word is. The very middle of the garden had a couple of trees in it. I always wondered if their leaves overlapped one another, how close they was. But they were not on the edge, folks. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in the center. And you know where the tree of life was? In the center of the garden. When you're going to face the one, listen, you don't have to open up your gadget and get E-Sword. You can get George Mueller. You can get Stories of Faith. You can... I've got the Evening Light songbook on my iPad. You can have it. Technology is wonderful. Two keystrokes away, some of the worst things you can look at. Right there at the center, right in the center, leaves overlapping, tree of life, and tree of the knowledge of good and evil. There it is, right there, evil and good, right there. All right there before you. And you're going to make decisions the way you're going to be virtuous and wholesome and upright and godly and make those kind of decisions? Or are you going to make decisions that you're going to... No, let me get this right. You're not going to make the decision for the results. If you could see the results, you wouldn't make the decision. Because at the end of it, at the end of every man's life, Brother Carl's God. End of every man's life. This scripture says, 8th of Proverbs, doth not wisdom cry? It's a question. Doesn't it? Doesn't wisdom cry?
Yes, it does.
Doesn't the broken homes and family in our world cry?
Yes, so,
doesn't the addictive lives? And they come out with these, I'm trying to think of it. Opioids. Opioids are synthetic opium that they come out with for pain medicine type stuff. The opioid crisis is, it's really, really hard at home. It's one of the states hit most with it.
It is.
They're dying.
By the thousands
across this country trying to give them a good feeling.
You're going to die and leave this world into a devil's hell. Don't do it. Wisdom's crying. The way isn't opioids. But people get themselves into a situation. They get themselves in a situation that they want out of. Can't live life. Our modern world is telling more and more that you go into, you don't go. If it's Christian based now, everybody goes to heaven. Even if you don't have the profession. Preach you'll preach in. You ever notice that? It's a lie. It's a lie. Wisdom cries. Alcoholics, is it not cried and cried? Well, imagine it's a cry. Have you seen it? You ever seen it and the terrible stuff that it brings? I've seen it. My wife's seen it. Many of you have seen it. Ain't good in it. Wisdom cries.
Right.
You break up your home, your family. You can break up everything worthwhile and good for a bad decision. Sometimes it starts out just as social drinking. Going to drink? Just going to drink to get along with the buddies. I know somebody that really had that problem. He's a good man, but he couldn't stay away from the buddies. And the buddies drink and he drink. It's not been good, folks. Wisdom cries if it's bad. Wisdom's trying to speak. Don't do it. Don't go that way. Don't make decisions that way. Follow God. follow righteousness and you'll find it's much more satisfying. It's a much better place at the end of it. I think it's so funny. People look at me and the way we live and just think we're so nuts. My response back when I first got saved, I was a little timid. I ain't timid anymore. My response now is, if I'm nuts, everybody ought to be. Because you look at my way of being nuts, and the results of it is good. You look at your way of being nuts and what you end up with, ain't good at all. People that called me nuts been long gone, divorced and family broken up and all kind of stuff happened in their life and heartache and trouble. And I'm crazy? I'm crazy. Right? I've been with my wife 18 years now and I'm going on with it. We're staying there. Right? It's good. Got my family around. It's good. I'm crazy. I'll take it. I'm the Lord's crazy. A lot of the people saying it out there ain't hearing wisdom cry. Because wisdom's crying to them. Young man. Don't die.
Yes, it's
don't die. Well, we'll go out and ride in the street. They had this deal over there in Jerusalem. I heard on the news the other day. A bunch of the Palestinians come rushing. I ain't getting into the political side of it. I'm just telling you. They kind of rushed the fence and they told them, you don't do it. We will shoot. They made them shoot. And they died. They died. You get me? Wisdom cries. You died. Was it worth that? Well, I'm going to raise my child to defend. I'm going to raise my child to have a certain idea of something. You'll raise your child to rush the fence and catch a bullet.
Yes.
Is that what? Is that the heartache you planned on? I'm going to raise my children to have a certain way of thinking and get out there and fight for it. You get clubbed over the head or get thrown in jail. You die at somebody's hand. Oh, that's not very wise. I'm going to tell you what's wise. Teach them to fear God.
That's so.
Teach them that if they're going to die for something that will take them to eternity. You know, God said not to fear them that can able to take to kill the body, but him that able to kill the body, destroy both soul and body in hell. So there is a death. There's a death that's noble and right. Die for the Lord. He's in control of it anyway. Doth not wisdom cry? And understanding put forth her voice. She standeth in the top of the high places by the way in the places of the paths. She cries at the gate, at the entry of the city, and at the coming into the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. You know, I see that so plainly. I hope you do too. I could say to my children or my son, let me speak wisdom. Don't run your car at 130.
It don't take but a gravel to crack up. Why die? Wisdom cries. I lost people in car wrecks. I've seen friends go that way. And wisdom cries. Oh, there was one story that stuck with me up there. This has just been a few years ago. I didn't know him, of course. There's a young man up there. He said that the story was is that he went to football practice and had a speeding ticket and the coach didn't like it. He's a high school boy. He's only 16, but he had his truck and his license and feeling good about himself, and he got a speeding ticket. Well, the coach was upset at him, and the coach tried to make him a better person along with his football, I guess, and he made him run some extra laps or run the hill, what they used to do over there. And it upset him. After that, the school bus was taking the other players. They was going to a banquet, and he was driving his own truck, and he went roaring past that bus. And he overplayed it when he passed the bus. It was a vehicle coming on, and he had to overplay it and get in quick. And he overplayed, and he dropped the berm. When he dropped the berm, he overplayed it again and jerked his wheel back. It's a very common young person's mistake.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very common. We was going out west one time, right at the prom season. And I was listening to the radio as we went that morning, and I'm telling you, one community after another, I was amazed. One community after another was telling about the loss of someone, of these young people that had got out drinking and had wrecked their vehicle. Six died in one, four died in another. Car fulls of young people as we went across towards Oklahoma. There was one community after another reporting terrible, horrific crashes that took people that just graduated, just getting ready with life, graduate, and lost their life like that. Well, this young boy overplays it back, and the ones that witnesses, his peers, witnessed it from the bus. He rode that thing nine times down the highway before it finally come to a rest on what was left of the vehicle. And he died there in it, and I would say to a 16-year-old man, seek wisdom.
That's so.
Seek wisdom. Because it cries, folks. Wisdom is speaking to all of us. It shows itself in the fruits of life. You follow the things that it's good and you'll reap that which is good. You follow the things which is corrupt, the flesh, and you will of the flesh reap corruption. It'll all rot in your hand. We're going to make decisions. And it really don't make no difference to me whether you got pink socks on or green. Well, it means something to me. I don't wear pink socks, but it don't mean nothing to me if you do. And it don't make no difference whether my shoes is brown or black. And it doesn't make any difference if most of the time, without murmuring or complaining or saying anything about it, if my wife says, honey, wear this shirt, then I just wear it. The only thing I grumble about is she says, wait a minute, it needs ironed. And I say, I ain't got a minute. I'm just give it here, it'll straighten out, and it'll straighten out as I go. That's the only thing but as far as the decision makes, it ain't gonna make a lot of difference. But when it comes to eternal things,
that's so, brother.
You're gonna make a decision how you're gonna serve the Lord. Mm-hmm. You're gonna do it half-heartedly. You're gonna do it with zeal. You're gonna give your all to the service of the Lord, or you're just gonna try to get through. All of those things are decisions. Right. You can make decisions. Lord, help us. Amen. Lord wants to lead and guide us into our decisions. You pray for me.